317 Real 6.
Mr. Tom Williamson, Real 6. Could you tell me how you got malaria and what happened then?
Well, I was travelling by train. And where to, I don't know, whether it's the first part of my training or journey to East Africa. We're in train in a malaria district and we were supposed to don our malaria nets at night, and one night I failed to put mine on, and evidently the mosquitoes bit me, but it was sometimes before it's evident shown that I got malaria. That's the latter part of November that I fell sick, and I had to be carried across Africa, I can't remember how, to be treated, and I don't remember where I went. I was very ill.
What symptoms did you have?
Well, first thing, I have a terrific headache, and then you're more or less lifeless. You have to rely on just treatment to feel you'll survive. But survive I did before the end of our business, but I always had a reoccurrence of this malaria when I got back to England till it wore out of my system.
After you'd been treated, you went back then to the camp?
Yes, I went back and saw it out there, and I was able to witness the armistice being signed and the jollifications. That's the only time I really mixed with the Africans, when they danced all night and I joined in the dancing.
What can you remember anything more about that? Those celebrations?
The natives all linked up, those several out of thousands, I should think, all linked outside our camp with spears, stripped of the waist, and they'd be dancing and singing 24 hours without stop. And I joined in the dancing with the natives. Some of the other sergeants did too, I expect. But I can't really know, it's all about myself being in the dancing. The jollification was that the war was over.
What sort of dancing did you do?
Well, just Salimani, Salimani, oh. That's the language they have, the natives, and they sing the same chant all the while. Just dance around with their spears in the ring. All ring, big ring of dancers. That's very picturesque. And they'd keep that up for 24 hours.
How long did you do it for?
Not long. No, I just joined in.
How did you feel about the war being over?
Well, I suppose I was relieved. Like others, I wanted to stay in Africa. I wrote to my mother to find out the conditions, and I never got a return letter, so I came home.
This is when you were offered the job. Sorry, you've lost me there. You wrote to your mother asking her the conditions.
We're in England. And I was offered the job to stay in Africa. But as she didn't write, I didn't take on the job in Africa. This drunken man who I was with, he did. He stayed behind. Sergeant Bush's name was. He carried on, and I don't know what happened to him.
When did this occur, this business of being offered the job?
Well, yes, we after the armistice, we then were, had to bide our time for them to remove us to as to where we home back to England, and that was quite a long period. And they sent round that anyone who wished to take on employment out there could do so. But as I say, I didn't. I had to come home and volunteer to apply.
When did you come home then? How was that sorted out?
That must have been after, in the new year I came back.
Which route did you take?
19. And then I came back to the barracks in Norwich.
Which way did you go?
Round by the... Oh, yes, I had a good journey then. Round by South Africa at the bottom. Right up round to Durban, to Cape Town. And there we again, we had stay in Durban. We stayed in Cape Town. We met friends in Cape Town from England. They were old places, doctor's daughter, etc. Nearly fell in love. But anyway, we had a lovely... they made it amicable for us to have our best enjoyment we could. It's quite nice people, his doctor, wife and daughter. There's no man. But they took us around Cape Town, Table Mountains, Musenberg, and different ports in their old conveyance. And we were then the free agents we were during our trip home. So that was a cook's tale all the way through.
What happened when you got back to the barracks? Which barracks did you go to?
I went to Norwich. That's the Norfolk Regiment's barracks is in Norwich. And I had to report there. And then I was given leave, and I was still under the government before I was released in April. So I had a time to sort myself out, and I got a job before I was demobilised.
What job was that?
I was really a coach builder by trade, and I went to Man and Edgerton's in Norwich, and I got a job before I came out of the army.
No difficulty getting the job then?
No, I had to go back first to my own railway company to serve my last year of my apprentice before I could leave. They wouldn't release me from my apprenticeship. So I went, served that year. Then I'd already got this job in Norwich, so...
They held it open for you?
They held it open for me. That made me. I've been in job ever since. I rose to inspector. In the last war, I was in the Home Guard and went to Cowley Motor Works. You heard of Cowley?
Cowley, yeah.
Motor Works. I was one of the inspectors there. Had a lovely job. Might have been there now when the circumstances arose. The last time my wife turned up ill, my first wife. I had to come back here in this bungalow.
Lowestoft.
I was paying in for a pension at Oxford. That's not running now, it's Oxford. But I had a jolly good job.
How did the war affect you? Did it have any positive... What positive and negative effects did it have on you? Do you think it changed you?
I must say the war itself didn't harm my persistence. Just persisting that, whatever, I don't think. That made me more determined to achieve something, ability to do something. I went into training, for instance, for draftsmanship, done all I could. I always had the ambition to achieve something, do something ambitious. I wanted to get a better job and all. When the last war broke out, we were evacuated. I went as the chosen inspector at Cowley Works. I had a good job there, you see. And I gave it all up and come back again. They took me back again. And I had a good job ever since.
Thank you very much, Mr. Williamson.